feel a bit like a fish out of water in this presentation. Financial protection is definitely related to governance in the sense that governments have a obligation to their populations to ensure that their populations have access to health care without encountering financial barriers and without encountering financial debt. So in that sense, it's very much related to governance. Yet the presentation itself is very much an empirical one, and I'm going to just mostly talk about methods and results of measurement. So lots of numbers. I promise I'll go through them relatively quickly, but I really want to focus in on just the concepts themselves and some of the results that we've come up with so far. So what is, as the title indicates, I'm looking at financial protection. I want to focus in on Latin America, but I want to first talk a little bit about some general concepts, and I'll talk a little bit about measuring financial protection in the U.S. because it presents sort of a pertinent backdrop and also shows that even in the U.S., well, maybe especially in the U.S., but in the U.S. in which, you know, 85% of the population has some form of health insurance, there's still a major problem of gaps in financial protection. And then I'm going to talk about the work we're doing in Latin America using household health surveys. Let me just back up and just acknowledge my co-author, Laurel Hatt, who was a PhD student at Johns Hopkins and has moved on in the world and is now is graduated from her PhD and is now working at Aft Associates. So, but Laurel was key in helping me do this work and still is. So what is financial protection in health? Well, the concept comes from this. I'll just go through these numbers quite quickly. If you look at countries, you look at their GDP per capita, you look at health expenditures, how much is spent per capita. So back in 2002, the U.S. top in the ranks at $5,000 per capita being spent on health, all the way down to a country like Yemen. These are just chosen. They're basically case studies of countries that I've worked in, spending only $20 per capita on health. All right, so huge gaps there, just to sort of set the context of what we're talking about. If you look at how health expenditures are made up, how much are the public sector, but this is the column that I want to focus on. And here you can see a big range. OOP, as the economists are great with their acronyms, out-of-pocket expenditures are OOPs. And in the U.S., 16% of health expenditures comes out-of-pocket, meaning spent at the point of service. And you can see in poor countries the numbers tend to be much higher. And so this is really what we're talking about. So when countries are spending as much as 50, 60% of healthcare expenditures is coming directly from people's pockets, that has a lot of implications for access to healthcare. It has a lot of implications for equity, for the progressivity of the health financing system, lots of things. And so it's a very pertinent question for governance from all of those perspectives. Here's taking all the countries for which we have data in the world. Each dot here is a country, right? These are from the World Development Indicators. Okay, so every dot here is a country. We're looking at per capita gross national income, okay, how rich the countries are, and the percent of health expenditures that come out of pocket. So you can see an interesting pattern. So these are countries, all the green ones are countries up to about $18,000 per capita. That's their income. That's how much income the country has overall. And doesn't say anything about the distribution of income, which is yet another important question. And these are the blue countries are the richer countries. So the percent that comes out of pocket is high here, in some cases as high as 90%, in countries in which there's no pooling of resources. Almost all the money is coming out of pocket. That's a very serious implication for financial protection, obviously. And that as countries get richer, this amount goes down. So fewer and less money comes out of pocket, the inverse being that more and more money is pooled. Because countries get wealthier, they find ways to pool money together through taxes, through insurance, and therefore to make sure that people have access to care. And then it kind of evens out. You got some variation here. This is Canada here, which has a very low percentage out of pocket, but basically evens out at about 20%. So the question is, for these countries up here, what are the implications of this high percentage of out-of-pocket expenditures coming, percentage of health expenditures coming out of pocket, and what can governments do about it? That's essentially the question of financial protection in health. So two components. One is when people spend too much of their income on health. meaning that it's usually measured as a percentage of their disposable income, a percentage of the money that they have available for all of their expenditures, what percent goes to health. So economists love to measure this kind of thing, and now with all the household survey data that's available out there, economists have gotten quite good at narrowing these questions down. So we can measure, quote-unquote, catastrophic. If I spent more than 10% of my income in a two-week period on health care, that's catastrophic. That's a randomly chosen threshold, but that's the idea, okay? But there's another component to financial protection and health, and it's one that's often completely neglected. What about people that don't get health care access at all? So you can say, in this country, you know, only 5% of the population spend more than 10% of their income on health, and say, great, for financial protection. And then turn around and say, well, 80% don't have access to health care at all. And that's not so great for financial protection. So often studies or discussions of financial protection really completely ignore this side of it, because if you don't even have enough money to be able to spend on health care, then obviously you don't have financial protection and health. You're not crossing the threshold, you're not spending catastrophically, but you don't have financial protection. So this is a really important component, and as I say, one that's often overlooked. So I'm going to just have to go real quickly here, but this whole line of study got a big push in the 2000 World Health Report, which used this concept of fairness in financing as a key indicator for health systems performance, measured as out-of-pocket health expenditures and how much you spend on health insurance and income taxes that go to health, everything they could find going to health, measured over total non-food spending being a measure of how much income does a household have to spend on everything, like health, education, housing, all of those essential items, okay? And the World WHO said if that ratio exceeds 0.5, then you've got this violation of financial protection. They called it catastrophic spending. Okay, so Ke Zhu, who is at WHO and was part of that World Health Report 2000, then went and got a lot more detailed, looking at specific countries, and 59 household surveys, an amazing piece of work published in The Lancet, in which they measured in specific countries how many households were spending more than 40% of their non-food spending on health. And so they called that catastrophic health expenditures, and they found it varies widely in Latin America, which is what I want to focus on, which is why I'm choosing these countries, from 10% in Brazil to less than 1% in Costa Rica. Costa Rica has nearly universal health insurance, so that's no coincidence. Okay. So with apologies for going so fast, I'm going to just quickly present some results from the U.S., from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. And here what I'm doing is using the MEPS to define, to measure out-of-pocket health expenditures exceeding 10% of family income. This is in a year time period. The recall period is really important for these studies. In 1 year, if health expenditures are more than 10% of your income, or if you spend more than $2,000 per family member on an annual basis per person in the family, or if combined out-of-pocket and prepaid, meaning health insurance premiums, exceed 40% of the family's income. So all of these, I'm saying, are a violation of this concept of financial protection. And interestingly, family spending more than 10% of income, so here you go, percentage of the federal poverty level. These are people below the 100% of the federal poverty level, meaning they're poor in absolute terms. And here's all families, and here's families with one or more chronic disease. So in the U.S., families with more than one chronic disease, less than 100% of income, more than 30% are spending more than 10% of their income on out-of-pocket spending. So even in the U.S., where we have 85% of the population insured, we have a serious problem of a violation of out-of-pocket expenditures. If you look at 40% of income, this includes when the premiums, health insurance premiums are included here, you've got, again, depending on the category, about 20% of poor families spending more than 40% of their income on health altogether in terms of out-of-pocket and premiums together. So serious issue in terms of violation of this concept of financial protection. Okay, so let me move quickly to, and I'm going to have to just buzz through this, this work we did in Latin America. We took all the living standard measurement surveys. These are these huge household surveys that include everything from soup to nuts, including everything you spent, the family spent, including health care. These are the recall periods. We took all the ones we could find for this time period. These are the sample sizes. And then we narrowed them down to look at the health spending. And so you can see here the in these countries which I've sort of zeroed out, this is public insurance, which ranges in these countries from 8% to 35%. Private insurance, which is almost negligible in Latin America. No insurance, very prevalent in Latin America. Okay, so that's just to give you a sense of what the systems are like. If we then look at household health expenditures as a percentage of income, basically what I've done is looked at what people have spent on Social Security. That's their taxes that are going to Social Security health systems, what they're paying for private health insurance, what they're paying out of pocket, adding it all up as a percentage of their income, and the percentage that is the percentage of households spending 10% or more on health. Extremely high, higher than in the U.S. in terms of what we saw in terms of expenditures on health. So Ecuador, a country not coincidentally which only has 10% health insurance, more than a third of the population spending more than 10% on health. Okay, I can do the same thing on using consumption instead of income. I won't bore you with the details between consumption and income, but I get similar results, even more exaggerated. Okay, so that's just this. I sort of consider this as sort of baseline research to kind of look at this question. If in fact there is this problem of financial protection, a third of households in Ecuador are crossing this threshold and spending too much on health. What are we going to, you know, is what are we going to do about it? You know, it has huge implications. As I say, Ecuador is a country where health insurance is lacking. The government has tried several times to expand health insurance and with very mixed success. So these results argue that there's a lot more work to be done. Another step more in the academic line is to look at you know, what happens. Economists call this a cross elasticity. If you're spending this amount of money on health, if you're spending more than 10% of your disposable income or more than 40% of your total income on health, what is it taking away from? So we'd like to, you know, go into the household expenditures and say, well, you know, that money that was spent on a catastrophic health event was in fact taken away from food or from rent, or, you know, that's the next kind of the next step of analysis here, to really look at what are the sequelae, what are the effects of this kind of what we're calling catastrophic expenditures. I mean, it's a very pertinent question. If we're concerned about this, we want to know what are the actual effects. I mean, intuitively, it makes a lot of sense that this is a problem, but what actually is happening? So, and then, of course, the big missing piece of this is the people that didn't pay at all because they couldn't afford to. They don't appear in these numbers because they didn't go to get health care at all. They stayed at home and didn't treat their condition. So that's also a huge question, missing gap here. So, I think that will finish for me, so I think I'm done within that limit. Okay, thank you.